Would you join me in prayer?
O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Forgetting the past. That's what started this whole thing. A new king arose who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And just like that, the Israelite people became enslaved because the past had been forgotten, because of no longer telling and caring about the stories of those who came before. I can understand how the Egyptians would get there, of not wanting to tell these stories over and over again of Joseph. But for the people of Israel to stop, for them not to have been telling the stories of Joseph, to keep this forefront in the mind of the Pharaohs, why would they have stopped telling these stories of Joseph, their glorious ancestor, who was himself the reason why they were living in Egypt in the first place? Now, it's true that Joseph had been Pharaoh's right-hand man, that he had been so close to the center of power in Egypt that power could not move without his say-so. And so for Joseph's family and for his children and for his children's children, nobody would look crosswise at them. The children of Israel were able to thrive because they were family to Joseph, the glorious ancestor. Well, Joseph was somewhat of a glorious ancestor to the Israelites. But there's parts of it they probably would have preferred to forget. Because the reason why Joseph was living in Egypt in the first place, well, it's because his family had resented him and betrayed him and sold him into slavery in Egypt and then lied and told everybody he was dead. Joseph was a glorious figure. Joseph's family, though, they were betrayers. I understand why they would stop telling that part of the story. I understand why they'd want to stop going into the details of exactly how it is that they came to be living in Egypt and just what their connection to Joseph was. It's not simple. But when is it simple with family? It starts by not telling the whole truth, leaving out the parts that are embarrassing, telling the good parts. It starts by not telling the whole truth, and then before you know it, a new king arose who does not know Joseph. I understand why people would want to say, let's leave that in the past. Because how is it that Joseph amassed all that power in the first place? That's not so simple either. Joseph had been given a gift from God, the ability to see and understand the future in dreams and visions. And what does he do with that power once he's in Egypt? Well, he uses it to predict the markets, to buy low and sell high, but where the stakes weren't stocks and bonds, but the essential daily bread that people needed to survive. Joseph bought up all the grain he could get his hands on right before a famine that only he knew that was coming. And then, when the people were in want and had no other choices, he sold them back at a premium, took everybody's money. Then, when they were all out of money, he took their land. Then, once they were all out of land, took the only thing they had left, their freedom. The people of Egypt, they all became slaves to Pharaoh. All the power in all of Egypt became concentrated in the hands of the Pharaoh. That's how Joseph got to be his right-hand man. Joseph used a divine gift and turned it into power by bankrupting everyone in the whole nation. I understand why they would want to stop telling that part of the story. I understand why the people would want to stop going into the details of how it is that Joseph got to be so rich in the first place. It's complicated to claim that ancestry. Joseph's power was bought at an enormous social cost. It's not simple. But when is it simple with family? I understand the desire to leave that in the past, forgetting the parts that are not so good. It starts by not telling the whole truth. Keeping the good bits and leaving out the parts you'd rather forget, but before you know it, a new king arose who does not know Joseph. Forgetting the past. That's where this whole thing started. Today we're marking what's called Middle Passage Sunday. On this Sunday we remember and reflect on the brutal conditions that undergird the bearing of Africans here to this land to be enslaved. Named after the triangle trade, the Middle Passage is a part of that. The first phase of that was finished goods and cash would be loaded onto cargo ships in Europe and then taken down to Africa. That's the first passage. There they would load human beings onto ships as cargo and carry them to the Americas. That's the Middle Passage. And then in America, load raw goods and take them back to Europe, the final passage. A triangle of profit that built countries on both sides of the Atlantic at the price of human blood. It's a painful story to remember. Why dwell on it year after year? Because forgetting the past, that leads to bad, bad things. We remember today the over 150 members of this church who were themselves enslaved. We remember this by reading aloud their names, those names, all of the names that we could find in a painstaking search through our history, through our archives. Those names are on the memorial tree in our columbarium. As far as we can tell, for a great many of them, this is the only public marker acknowledging the lives these children of God led. That's something we say with some pride. And yet, the reason why there is no other public marking is because they were enslaved. And this congregation had profited from the institution of slavery. Our forebears profited from the conditions that erased these people from public life. And now I'm to speak with pride of marking their lives at a great remove of time? Or maybe I should take them down? It's not simple. But when is it with family? We rightly, are proud of Jacob Manning, abolitionist pastor who turned the meeting house over to the cause of the Union Army, who himself joined the army as a chaplain and then died as a result. He, like most of the people who died in the Civil War, died from disease rather than injury. He caught malaria and died. He's a witness. And yet, there was a time when this church allowed a member of the church to own another member of the church. This was something the ministers did. 6 of my 20 predecessors were enslavers. That's about 30%. Not counting the 2 I know personally, it's 18. 6 out of 18. 33%. To claim our ancestors as people who opposed slavery. That's true. It's not the whole truth, though. It's not simple. But when is it simple with family? I understand the desire to turn the page on that history, leave it in the past, move on, leave out at least the parts of it that are not so savory. Focus on the good bits. I understand that. But forgetting the past starts by not telling the whole truth. And before you know it, there arises a king who does not know Joseph. At the root of so much pain, it's forgetting the past, of allowing it to be forgotten. And the solution, it is as simple as it is difficult. That is remembering the past. We remember the past and tell the truth about it. Tell the truth about it first, because the truth doesn't need any secondary justification. The truth is its own rationale, needing no other reason to be spoken. Truth needs no justification. The truth is enough. And as hard as it is to believe, when it seems so easy to forget parts of the past, it seems like it might be better, but it's not. As hard as it is to believe, we remember the words of Jesus who says, if you continue in the word, if you are truly my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so we tell the truth. or at least we try to. Striving to be people of the truth. We can hold on to the old words, the words of Jesus, taking comfort that those who first heard them, they did not understand, certainly did not follow them perfectly. And they didn't need to understand. That's the other thing about the truth. That's the real strength about the truth, which is that whether it's understood or believed, it is still the truth. It's not waiting for our say-so to be real. Truth is what we strive for. It alone is what could possibly bring unity. I understand that it's easy to think we need to leave out the more painful parts and knit people together around something more cheerful. I understand that that seems like wisdom, and it is not. There is nothing that can unite people other than the truth. It is difficult to unite people with the truth, but if you think it is difficult to unite people with the truth, then try to do it with a lie. It will fall apart. Whether or not it is understood or believed, it is still the truth. And if we persist, then the truth will be what will set us free. Thanks be to God.